We reading Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Well, let me begin this morning by looking at a couple of passages of Scripture. The first is 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so Paul reminds Timothy that God saved us and that he called us with a holy calling. The second passage is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we shall always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here Paul tells the church at Thessalonica that God called them through the gospel. So called with a holy calling, called through the gospel. I want us to think for a few minutes about some of the things that God's people are called to. Number one, God's people are called to worship. Worship is not so much about us as it is about God. We worship God because of who God is. Psalm 111 begins, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate." And then coming down to verse 9, "He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever." Have we ever stopped and just studied, sought out, pondered God and all his works? We could ponder his majesty, his greatness, his awesomeness. Our Milky Way galaxy is one of 100 million galaxies. Light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Traveling at the speed of light, it would take 50,000 years to get halfway across our own galaxy, which is one among 100 million galaxies. With the psalmist, we say, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens." We could study his holiness. He isn't like anyone or anything. Hosea 11 verse 9, "I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath." We could also reflect on the love of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, "See how great the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him." So worship is an encounter between a majestic, holy, loving God and a needy, sinful people. When we step back and ponder some of these things, what else could we do but worship? And our worship is to involve the whole person, the heart, the mind, the body, the soul. And we worship because of who God is and because of who we are. But God's people, number two, are called to holiness. When we say something is holy or sanctified, it simply means that which has been set apart by God and for God. Isaiah 35, verse 8, a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. 1 Peter chapter 1, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A holy life is a life that is dedicated to God. A holy life is a life that has been disciplined by God. And a holy life is a life that is distinctive for God. Dedicated to God, disciplined by God, and distinctive for God. But God's people are called to the practice of genuine community. We are a fellowship of believers bound together by our faith and our commitment to Jesus Christ. Luke's description of the early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, becomes a key verse for us. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And we've mentioned before that I think Luke is saying here that they were a learning church. They were a fellowshipping church. They were a caring church. They were a worshiping church. And we see those characteristics listed there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. But then God's people are called to be a maturing people, a people who grow up in order to become like Christ. We are all in the process of becoming. We're not there yet. The Christian life is one of growth and maturation. Ephesians chapter 4, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Hebrews 12, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. So called to grow, to mature, that is a continual challenge for all of us occupying these pews this morning. But God's people are called to serve. The fundamental principle of church leadership is service. The fundamental principle of the Christian life is service. Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The cross of sacrifice, the towel of service. We take up that cross of sacrifice on a daily basis, and we also pick up that towel of service on a daily basis as well. But then God's people are called to witness. There is a telling response to the Christian life. Psalm 107 expressed it this way, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Evangelism begins with passion. God's passion for us led him to reach out. Think about that. And Rayford reminded us of that as he spoke about the Lord's Supper today. Think about his passion, what he was willing to do to reach out to us. And I believe that's where evangelism has to begin. But I think we also must honor the process of evangelism. It takes patience. It takes persistence. But then there comes a point when we must initiate a presence in the life of a lost person. There comes that point when we initiate a presence in the life of that one that we are trying to lead to Christ. And then we must share a verbal proclamation of the gospel. There comes that point when we raise spiritual issues. And then evangelism involves prayer. Prayer is vital. Prayers for boldness. Prayers for open doors. Prayers for the message to be presented in a clear way. That's always impressive about Paul, who said, prayed for boldness that I may present the gospel in a clear and understanding way, as he addressed the Christians there in the church at Colossae. But then God's people are called to make a difference in our culture, to be salt and light. And we must remember that it doesn't take great talent to make a difference. It just takes willingness. Back in 1847, up in Milan, Ohio, a boy was born. And when it was time to send him off to the first grade, he lasted 3 months. The school said he's too backward to teach. He had scarlet fever, had a back brace, he was going deaf, he was unruly, he was arrogant, he was stubborn. He liked to play with fire and mechanics. Matter of fact, one day he burned down his dad's barn. This boy will not make a difference. But he grew up to patent 1,000 inventions, including the phonograph, the movie camera, cement, and the light bulb. His name was Thomas Edison. It's not so much our money, our talent, our brain power, our raw material, our abilities, our knowledge. All of those certainly can play a part. But our availability, our willingness to go out there and make a difference, I think, is a real key. And so it doesn't take great time to make a difference. It just takes great willingness. It doesn't take a certain age to make a difference. It just takes a certain willingness. In the text that was read this morning, let's consider Jesus' words again. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Some powerful words that Jesus uttered initially to those disciples. Think about those disciples And Jesus said, I want to tell you something. You are the salt of the earth. You are to be the light of the world. Yes, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. And Jesus has called us to go out there and to make a difference, to be the salt, to be the light, to try to emulate those qualities that salt and light have so that we can indeed make a difference in our culture. And I am sure those were very challenging words when they were spoken to those disciples, when he thought, we disciples, we're to be the salt of the earth and we're to be the light of the world. Yes. But as long as we're connected to the source of light, and that's Jesus himself, I am the light of the world. And as we stay connected to that source, then we can go out there and make a difference in our culture. And God certainly has called us to go out there and to make a difference. Now, God continues to call people through the gospel. We've talked here this morning about the gospel call. The gospel call, a holy calling, called by God to go out there and make a difference. But we're called by God. We're called by the gospel. And if there's anyone here who needs to answer that gospel call through initial obedience to Him, through faith, repentance, baptism, we want to encourage you to take that decisive step this morning. That's where it begins. And then you can go out there and be that light and be that salt in our community. And so if there's anyone who is ready to respond to the gospel through faith, repentance, baptism, we hope that you'll come and make that decision. But we're also here to pray with you. And if there's anyone who desires the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. We're here to encourage you, to help you, to support you in any way that we possibly can. So if there's any way that we can help anyone here today, I want to encourage you to take that decisive step. Come and share with us what's on your heart as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.